Right now, we have two in-studio guests, two of my favorite people in the world. We know you go to the mailbox, you see that notice in the mail, and it says you are part of a class action. Are you happy? Are you sad? What should you do? Is this going to cost you anything? Is this, at the end of the day, going to give you 2 cents, or might it give you $1,000? With us to discuss what a class action is, why they're important, are two of the best class action lawyers in the city and in the country. Katrina Carroll is the founder of a new firm, litigation boutique, Carroll Schomburg. They have recovered over $1 billion for their clients while setting legal precedents that protect consumers in all kinds of areas, including consumer fraud, privacy, and product liability. And we have John Jayer, who is a class action lawyer and partner of Freed, Canner, London & Millen, extensive experience in representing plaintiffs in, again, data privacy and antitrust cases across the country, and they are married to each other just recently. John and Katrina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Let's start with Class Action 101. Katrina, what is a class action, and why do we have them?
Well, a class action is a case where you are representing on the plaintiff's side the interests of more than one person. And usually the reason why you bring the case is to address some sort of widespread harm where a lot of people are affected at the same time. And the reason why the law allows for class actions is it's much more efficient to litigate a claim that's similar across a lot of people in one lawsuit. Because if people were forced to bring these cases as individual cases, the courts would be clogged and nothing would ever happen. And then the other thing is a lot of times the value of the claim is so small that for one person to take the case up on their own, it just doesn't make any economic sense for them or for the lawyers handling it.
And so for the people, John, that say class actions are only good for the lawyers, they're the only ones that make money, I hear that all the time. How do you respond to that?
Look, Karen, I understand why someone would say that if they got a check for $2.50, like we all have. I think what a lot of people don't realize is that the cases we handle, people are getting checks for much larger. We are trying to find cases and claims against defendants who are harming people of Illinois and across the country. Katrina and I have had success litigating it against TikTok that put, for Illinois citizens, over $220 in their pockets for biometric violations. I had a case in Connecticut, an antitrust case against IVF providers who were price fixing and causing people who couldn't get pregnant, women who couldn't get pregnant, to pay way more than they should have for IVF treatment. And as you know, IVF treatment is very expensive. And in that case, you know, class members were getting upwards of thousands of dollars. So I think that if everybody had that perspective, they'd be a lot more receptive to class actions in the lawyers.
And I want to talk a little bit about some of the specific cases you handle, because they're really very, very interesting. But, you know, one of the things that I always think of when I look at class actions is the history. You know, Brown versus Board of Education, segregation in schools, Roe versus Wade, the Scopes Monkey Trial. These were all, they originated with class actions, and they changed the way the law is. They changed the way companies do business. I guess I'm looking to you, Katrina. Do you see that what you do is not just putting money in the pockets of your plaintiffs, your numerous plaintiffs in your class, but also moving the needle forward in social issues?
I think that's absolutely true. And if we didn't have class actions, as everyone knows, you know, the government is very burdened. The long arm of the law doesn't always redress the harms that people face. And so there just aren't those resources. So you really do need a private way to enforce and vindicate people's rights. And really, the threat of a class action to, say, a business that's doing some sort of predatory pricing, or a lender that's giving predatory loans and not, you know, is charging people way more than they should be paying in fees and interest and things like that. If you don't have the threat of a class action, you know, the benefit that comes to people from those cases will never happen. So the threat of the class action, even in a case, and, you know, I am one who will say to the people who ask about, you know, why we need class actions, all I'm getting is a $2 coupon. I don't think people quite appreciate the amount of work, effort, money that is spent on the plaintiff side, like getting you that $2 coupon. It's not just, you know, as easy as people think it is, because we're not getting paid. We only get paid if we win. It's the defense lawyers are getting paid by their clients. They're the best and brightest from, you know, all Ivy League educated, amazing law firms. They get paid by the hour to drag things out and to put us through the ringer. And we're, you know, we are financing our own cases. And it's oftentimes, you know, years of battling and spending money on experts and costs of litigation to get that coupon at the end of the day.
Well, so. And the bigger picture is that when they have to shell out that money, attorney's fees and all of those types of things, you know, they might think twice about doing it again. And I would imagine that if you set a precedent in the industry, then the other banks and the other insurance companies and the other social media companies will follow suit, because they don't want to be on the receiving end of that lawsuit, would be my guess. I'm here talking to Katrina Carroll and John Jayer. We're talking about class action lawsuits. If you have a question here, I'm sure they would love to answer. 312-981-7200, or you can text to that number. Let's take a break, and we'll come back in a minute. You're listening to WGN. One of the things that you can ask the court for, John, when you go to have a class action, tell us about what injunction means in this terms of a class action and how this helps people moving forward.
Sure, Karen. As part of any settlement, obviously there's the monetary component that everybody's familiar with. You know, tens of millions of dollars get divided up on a pro rata basis to everybody who was harmed. However, a big component of a settlement for us is to force the company is doing something wrong to change their business practice and stop doing what they're doing that's wrong. And people need to understand that that is protecting future harm. And that's just as important to me as the monetary component, because you're stopping that action or that behavior in its tracks.
And let's talk a little bit about the logistics of what happens and what are the what should you do? You get the notice and you were banked at a certain bank during a certain time period and you are now part of the class. What should you do, Katrina? What must you do? And are there any downsides to taking action one way or the other?
I tell people all the time, fill out the notice. I know sometimes, you know, you get this piece of mail, it's legalese, it's confusing. People want to know, oh, what is this? Is my information getting taken? Is this a scam? It's not. I mean, you always have on any notice that you receive, there's always information on who to contact if you do have questions. But for the most part, there's absolutely no downside to filling out a class notice and participating in a settlement. And people get very surprised. I mean, I fill them out personally all the time. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember years ago, there were these Skechers shoes that were supposed to like tone you. And they were
Yeah.
I think I just had my second child and I was looking for a quick fix. But anyway, so I bought these Skechers shoes, and of course, all of the claims were just bogus. And so there was a class settlement, and I got my notice in the mail and I filled it out and I got like $50 back. It wasn't just a $2 coupon. It was $50. That's real money. And of course, I got to wear my shoes, even though they didn't work.
Right.
But every time, I mean, I tell people, fill it out, because sometimes, especially in the bigger cases where you have a settlement fund that is created, and John can tell you more about our TikTok case later, but we got $92 million, a settlement fund. So when people file claims, a lot of times the value of the claim depends on who else is submitting the form. So the fewer the people submitting the form, the higher your share is, which is why I tell people, fill it out, because you know what? Even if it's $5, $6, it'll buy you Starbucks that you didn't have yesterday, right?
That's right.
But most cases are going to be more than that. And so if you don't, you got to be in it to win it.
And there's nothing, no downside.
No.
It's not like you ever have to pay anything or someone's going to come knocking at your door.
There's a difference between, I mean, people ask me this all the time. There's the difference between the plaintiff in the case and the people who are the class members in the case. The plaintiff in the case is the person who is pursuing the case on everyone's behalf. They're the ones who work with the lawyers. They give you input on, you know, how they were ripped off or how their privacy was violated, whatever the claim is about. They read the complaint. They ask questions, and you sort of hold their hand through the process. But they bring the claim on behalf of, you know, thousands, millions, however many people who aren't appearing in the lawsuit. So the reason you're getting the notice is because you didn't really have to participate in the lawsuit, but you get to benefit from it. So there's really no downside, and there's every reason to just fill out the form and get paid.
John, let's talk a little bit about the TikTok case. I know you were both involved in it. Tell us a little bit about what the allegations were and how it worked out.
Sure. You know, Illinois has a law that really protects its citizens involving their biometrics. As we move forward, you know, data privacy is at the forefront of our practice. And someone's biometrics is unique to them. And so our claims were against TikTok, who were using facial mapping, or taking someone's image through their use of TikTok on their phone. And we brought a lawsuit probably about 4 years ago, and settled the case to protect the people of Illinois. And there was also a nationwide component. But it was a big settlement for $92 million. And it's where Katrina and I really kind of worked together for the first time. We're different firms. And we thought that that was an outstanding result, suing a big company like TikTok. And everybody knows what they go through right now in terms of political pressures to achieve that settlement.
So when you talk about biometrics, like, explain that to our average listener who, you know, and how do they get it from, the choice of what you're looking at on TikTok? How do they actually get that information?
Well, they have a feature TikTok does where they would, a user of TikTok on their phone would take a picture of themselves or a scan, and TikTok was retaining that data in their database. And so we prevented that practice from going forward.
And now going forward, are they doing that still? Or is that something that they're not doing anymore?
A company is allowed to do it, Karen, but the law in Illinois requires significant disclosures and consent from the user. So if the user checks off a box that says, yes, you can do that, or there's a disclosure, and that there's a disclosure that they're doing it, that might be okay and legal. What TikTok was doing was not, and they have stopped doing that without the proper disclosures and consent.
Just a quick question for people who say, hey, you know what, I don't care if they have my information. Like, what are they going to do with it? Is that, you know, why is that really a problem, or is that just some perceived kind of, you know, paranoid kind of thing? Tell us what could happen if a company has your personal information. Katrina?
I mean, all different kinds of things could happen. I mean, we hear about data breaches all the time. We all know that, you know, our data is out there. But people have come to me where they've been victims of a data breach. They've had tax returns filed in their name and their refunds stolen, credit cards open in their name. You know, all different kinds of harms. But, you know, this just really comes from a recognition that people should have the right to control how their information is used, what types of information is taken, and, you know, you need to give people the choice of what they're going to share and how they keep their own things private.
847 texter says, many claim settlement says no proof necessary. Should people send in the payments? And I think you're going to say yes, but when it says no proof necessary, it's kind of the whole point, isn't it?
One of the things, and this would go for just a typical consumer, a big consumer settlement. Sometimes we sue over, you know, a product label not being fully accurate. And in order to encourage people to make claims, we'll say, well, you don't need to supply any proof. All you need to do is say, I purchased this product, you know, sign a form and get your payment. Because a lot of people don't retain proof. But, you know, sometimes there are settlements where you can submit proof and get a higher payment if you have it. But most of the smaller ones won't require it. And so I wouldn't send it in.
And one of the reasons where proof is required is we've seen a lot on our end of people making fraudulent claims. As the internet gets more sophisticated, you have bots. And especially for some of these big notable settlements, you know, it could be a $500 million deal. There's apparatuses in place where people, or not people, computers can submit fraudulent claims.
Yep.
We have claims administrators who have anti-fraud measures in place, but that's the reason why we need some indicia of harm or that you were affected by this particular data breach or consumer privacy violation.
I don't know if you know anything about this, but I've got two texters who are interested in the Blue Cross Blue Shield case. Do you know anything about that case? I don't know if it
that was. I believe that was a case down in Georgia, and it was a huge settlement, I think $2.8 billion, which is a landmark deal, clearly. I think a lot of insurers were price fixing or getting together and adjusting rates throughout the country.
Let's talk, Katrina, can you mention, and this is, I think, maybe the last, just give us like 45 seconds. You have a case down in Southern Illinois regarding some nuclear issues. Can you just give us a quick summary on that case?
I sure do. A quick summary, that's going to be a challenge, but I'll tell you what I can about it. I think we've all seen Aaron Brockovich, right? The environmental case where Aaron went in and was interviewing people and trying to solve a water contamination problem. Well, my case is actually very interesting. It's probably one of the reasons I'm a lawyer. It keeps me interested. It's in Southern Illinois, and it's about environmental contamination with hazardous nuclear material. Most people don't know that in Southern Illinois, there's a nuclear processing facility. Basically, we allege in the case that the way it was run was totally not in compliance with the applicable regulations. And as a result, there's all kinds of hazardous nuclear material around the entire area, probably a 3-mile radius. We found all such hazardous contamination that our experts are saying that it could only be likened to what happened in Chernobyl.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm not going to Champaign. I'm not even going south to Champaign. Katrina Carroll and John Jayer, thank you so much for joining me. I want to give their names out again. Katrina Carroll's with Carroll and Schomburg. And John Jayer is with the boutique law firm of, let me see if I get the names right, Fried, Kanner, London, and Millen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Karen.
And if anyone wants their contact information, you can always go to the WGN website, and it will be posted there, or to my WGN at AskKarenConti.com.